Welcome to this episode of the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, where we explore how God is part of life, honest, and youth. My name is Brian, and this week I'll be talking to
Sophie.
Hi, Sophie. And in this episode, we'll be talking about how she's dealt with divorce in her family. That's definitely real life.
Yeah.
So a lot of families have to deal with divorce.
Yeah.
So to get things started, as we always do, Sophie, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name's Sophie. I am a senior at Eagle River High School in Eagle River, Alaska. I'm 18 years old, and I've lived in Alaska for about the last 13 years.
And you've been coming to ACF, our church, for a long time, right?
Yeah, I think this is my 12th year here.
You're an old timer.
Yeah.
So you kind of grew up in the church, which is unusual at this church because we've grown
quickly.
We have a lot of new people that come through here.
A lot of military
cycle in and out of here. But we're talking about divorce with Sophie. And I don't know, statistically, half of all marriages end in divorce or something.
Yeah.
And we're just going to unpack like how Sophie's walked with God during the divorce and post-divorce.
Yeah.
So kind of take us, start at, quote, the beginning, like growing up, and just kind of walk us through like the moment of divorce.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents were always fighting. Like that was pretty normal. And so like when I would go over to friends' houses and like I would see their parents like not fighting all the time, I'd be like, wow, your family needs help. Like that was just like my normal was, I thought that was what parents were supposed to do.
So is this like bickering or just like throwing things?
Like
and
screaming.
Okay.
Like actual fighting and stuff.
Right.
I have four older siblings, and so they also walked through that with me, and that was like kind of, it was really awesome to have a support system there. You know, like the only people who understand that your specific situation is the people who are also involved. So having my sisters and my older brother part of that was, it was nice to have that. And so it was like our thing to just kind of be like, oh no, this is just mom and dad. They're just fighting. Like this is just a normal day. And so the word divorce was thrown around a lot growing up. And so we didn't think it would actually ever happen. Just
so when you say growing up, are you thinking like grade school-ish?
Yeah, like elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like just something that was always said was something about divorce. And so we didn't think it would actually ever happen just because it always sounded like a bluff or some kind of threat. And so,
but was this like a cloud hanging over you? I mean, it's like 8-year-old you, or was it just like just part of life? This is just how my family is, or a little both?
I think a little bit of both. It was like I have memories of sitting on the stairs with like my sisters and just listening to them fight, and we'd be like, do you think they're gonna get divorced? And the older sisters would just be like, no, this is normal. And so we always thought it was just like maybe the idea of it, like since it was always being thrown around, but we had never actually thought it would happen. So when I was 10 years old, that was when they finally got divorced, but they had like split when I was 9 and kind of started dating again, like each other. And so that was weird to like see your parents date. And so we were like, this is just really odd.
Right. So there wasn't like a sudden, here's the papers.
It was a long process.
Right. And which then kind of feeds into the process of arguing. So it's just kind of continuing.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so once they finally did get divorced, it was definitely like, it was super weird. Like none of my friends' parents were divorced. It was like, I was the only one of my friends.
And that's when you were 10?
Yeah, I was 10 years old. So I was just like, this is so weird. Like now I have to switch between houses every week and like learning how to pack up your whole like life and move it to another house every single week. And a lot of like guilt with like leaving one of the parents alone for a week. And I was, since I'm the youngest, I was the only one really consistently switching back and forth as a 10-year-old. And so it was definitely like, I felt guilty, like I should be doing more in making my parents happy and not really understanding like why it was happening, I guess, and like why I was put in that situation.
So as 10-year-old, you're a believer, I'm guessing?
Yes,
which
I am.
As 10-year-old believer, it's different than, say, an 18-year-old believer, just where, you know, our minds are intellectually and emotionally mature goes. So as you think back, which Does this seem like a really long time ago or like yesterday?
Kind of both.
A little mix of both.
Yeah, a little mix of both. Yeah.
How was God part of this when you're 10 years old?
Yeah, I just remember thinking like, okay, this isn't going to happen. God is going to keep my family together. Like, we have been such a great Christian family. Like, we are so part of the church. We all serve. We're all just very, you know, we were a part of ACF church for so long that I was like, this doesn't happen here. Like, this can't happen. And so thinking like, okay, God is just testing us all. We are all going to be fine. Like, they're not getting divorced. And so when they did get divorced, there was a lot of anger with God, seeing like both parents really hurt and my sisters and myself hurt. It was just confusing to why God would put a 10-year-old through this. Mm-hmm. And like, I was aware that I was only 10.
Right.
And I was like, this isn't something that a 10-year-old should be going through. Mm-hmm. And so anger with God too.
Right. And then then when you get to middle school where you're a little more mature, a little more dramatically, emotionally, hormonally, you know, middle school, right? Did their anger increase or did you, just kind of tell me as you aged?
Yeah. As I was getting older, I would say that I wrestled with God a lot more and found feelings of just not belonging and just embarrassment in there too, like being with my friends and it was like, oh yeah, like don't worry, like my parents can't be in the same room, but if they are, like, be ready, like they might fight and stuff. And so just embarrassment in that situation and really like wrestling with God really hard, just not understanding.
Yeah.
And like, no, just
questioning. Yeah. Like, so you're embarrassed just because it's a situation you really don't know how to handle.
Right.
There's no training or class for how to do that. And then there's anger with God too. So how did you bring, and you mentioned wrestling with God, what does that look like? Unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah, so I guess it was just kind of like praying and reading my Bible more and really like fighting with him on if he even existed. Mm-hmm. Like just in middle school, it was always a like, okay, if God's real, he wouldn't let me go through this. Mm-hmm. And then once I really believed like, okay, yes, God's real, it was like, then he's not a good God, because a good God wouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. And through that whole process, I started to learn what God was teaching me in that. And I think it really matured me intellectually on just my whole thinking process and like theologically and just understanding like God, like we're going to go through trials. Like being Christian does not give you a free pass through life. Mm-hmm. Like you're not, in fact, I would argue that life could be even more difficult with some trials that God's going to give you. But the good part of that is that you have someone to lean on. And I think being dependent on God is so crucial. And so looking back on it, I am very thankful that I went through that because it taught me I need to be dependent on God and that even my own parents are going to fail me. And like this world is going to continuously fail me over and over again. And so learning that God is the only constant in my life had taught me so much that I still carry with me.
Yeah, I think it's really neat because our tagline is honest, real life, in that you talk about like doubting whether God is there, yet at the same time, leaning into his word more, like just how we can do, you know, that's just the nature of real life when you wrestle with God. And, you know, there's a whole book of the Bible, Lamentations, like just being ticked off and letting God know it, like, and that sort of thing. So did you kind of cover high school years or...
So going into high school, I would say it got more difficult with more situations that kind of came about, but eventually I was only just living with my dad and so also feeling like guilt with my mom just about like not living with her anymore and some hurt there. And so just like not like feeling like I just wasn't worthy or enough for anyone and just feeling like feelings of emptiness and... that really caused me to start dealing with depression and anxiety. And so these feelings of like in middle school, they were more just anger towards God. Mm-hmm. But then in high school, it was more of like just a sadness towards God. Like, why would he let me just be here? Like, I knew he was a good God, but I just felt like my soul was so heavy and like I couldn't carry it. And so especially sophomore year, that depression was really hard. Like I stopped hanging out with my friends, and I was skipping school like probably 3 times a week, and just like getting out of bed was like physically painful. Like I was just really going through hard depression, because I just didn't, I felt like I was so out of control, and like being the kid in the situation, there's nothing you can really control there. Mm-hmm. And so feeling like God kind of left me and kept walking.
Mm-hmm. So what, I don't want to say what brought you out of it, because that's too simplistic, obviously. This is, listening to your whole story, it's just so reflective of life, just how much of a journey it is. Yeah. Wrestling, you go from anger to sadness to depression. Mm-hmm. All the time, I get the sense, well, I don't get sense, you said that God was still part of this journey the whole time. And so what's junior, senior year, last couple of years, kind of what's that been like with as far as like feelings of belonging and sadness and the whole thing you've been talking about?
Yeah, so one of my youth leaders, I was able to talk to them about like the depression I was feeling, but I didn't classify it as depression. You know, I didn't want to like self-diagnose myself with depression. And she had said to me, she was like, this sounds like you're depressed. Like, I really think you need to reach out for mental help. And so I...
So when you heard that, what was your reaction?
I kind of thought, I was like, no, that's not me.
Right.
Like, that's not who I am. That's never, I had never really struggled, especially with anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, that was not something I had. I like even thought, I was like, how do people even struggle with anxiety? Don't, like, as a Christian, don't you know that God's in control?
Yeah, right.
And so...
You put all your anxiety on him.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Yeah,
move
that's
on.
What I thought it was. And so once I started struggling with that anxiety and that depression, I was like... Wow, that's not as simple. Like, I don't understand why I'm able to think, like, I know God's in control. I know that God has a situation in hand, and I know that his plan is best. So why am I still feeling this burden of anxiety and depression? Mm-hmm. And so I was, when she told me that, I was like, that can't be me. Like, that can't be my story. And I was kind of ignored it, I think, for a few weeks or even months. And finally, I was like, okay, I need to reach out for help. And so I was able to have a conversation with my parents and get hooked up with, you know, mental health help. And I saw a psychologist, and I got on antidepressants, and then I saw a therapist and was talking to her weekly about just all the issues growing up and how the issues that I saw with my parents and what I'm still feeling can affect my present day relationships and friendships and everything like that. It was a big eye opener. And so taking that medication,
so the eye opener was like the expanse of the effects.
Yeah.
That was the eye.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
And like, I didn't realize how much it was going to affect my life.
Right.
And so, taking that medication really helped me my sophomore year. Like, that's what got me like on my feet again. Mm-hmm. And then I think I was taking it for a little too long, and it kind of diminished my personality. And I just felt like I wasn't even myself anymore. And so I was like, okay, God, like, what do you want? Like, what am I even supposed to do anymore? Because I found a solution, but then it just crumbled underneath me. And so it kind of felt like God was saying, like, what you're doing isn't a bad thing, but are you even trying to depend on me? And so I was like, all right, that's a good point. And so I stopped taking the medication, which I'm so thankful that I was able to take. But I was like, I think that now that I'm better mentally, I want to stop taking it and now try to go focus on God as much as I can, which helped so much. And my junior year of high school, I think I got kind of lazy in my own mental health, and I was like just wanting to look for a Band-Aid. And so I took the medication again, and it didn't help, just because I was like, I think I was out of that deep hole of depression, and it was just me being like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so bored, I'm so sad, like,
right. And before, you were like really on top of it with the weekly meetings and medication and all.
Yeah. And so now I was just like, looking back on it, I was like, I think I was just looking for that medication for a Band-Aid to fix how I was feeling mentally. And I only took it for probably a month or two, when I was like, okay, this isn't what I'm being called to take right now. That's not what I need right now. And so I stopped doing that, and I really focused on my relationship with God. And that's what made me feel like I was able to get through it, because I still had that depression and all of that and anxiety, but it was like, it was almost a peaceful version of it, rather than my sophomore year where it was so burdensome.
Right.
And like I said, so thankful that I was able to get through that with a therapist and psychologist my sophomore year. But my junior year, it was more of like a this is time for you to be still, and this is a time for you to reflect on your emotions and really feel them, like let them in rather than just trying to avoid them, mm-hmm. and letting God work through that.
So when you mentioned leaning into God and focusing mm-hmm. on that, what does that mean in practical?
Yeah, so the way I would do that is, a big part of how I would do it was just having conversations with God, and not necessarily like praying where, you know, my eyes are closed, my hands are folded.
Now, where did these usually take place and what time of day? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Usually in my car. It would be like mm-hmm. driving around and either going somewhere, like actually having an end destination, or just driving around for fun. Mm-hmm. Usually took place later at night, just because that's like when I had time to drive around, and I would always like kind of visually imagine God in my passenger seat, and I'd like clear the seat for him, and I'd be like, all right, let's go for a drive.
That's cool.
And I would just talk to him and be like telling him everything I'm feeling, and just sitting there in the quiet and trying to listen to what he could be telling me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like God really speaks to me with just like thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like I would think something and I would feel like an overwhelming love, and I'd be like, that was from God. Mm-hmm. Like I was so certain every single time. If I knew it was from God, I fully believed it.
Right.
And so just like listening to what he has to say to me and being patient with it too, knowing that it doesn't have to be an instant response and it doesn't actually have to be verbal, but just being able to feel what he's telling me.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you describe like today? How are you? That's a lame. How are you today? Like, you know, on a real deep and serious level, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, living in Alaska during the winter, I feel like most people struggle with some seasonal depression to some certain level. And just
for those that don't know, it gets dark.
Yeah.
Except for like 5 or 6 hours of the day. And seasonal affective disorder is actually a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of sunlight's real.
Yeah. Vitamin D, you get none in mm-hmm. the winter here. And so it's like from the time of October to March, it is just so dark. And, you know, like in December, it's about, like you said, 5 hours of sunlight. And even then, it might not even be the sunlight. It might just be like kind of a bright sky, like, you
and
know,
the sun's
just
not high up in the sky, it's just over the horizon too.
Right. And so
and it's
always
cold. Yeah,
it's so cold, it always feels like the sun is setting. And so that it just makes it really hard sometimes to go through the winter mm-hmm. when it's just constantly dark and cold. And so I would say this winter I struggled with some of that, but I was able to find an outlet in God and just like going inside, sitting with him, and being like, all right, this is like where I'm at, and just trying to be honest with God. Because in the past, it's just like I try to be this religious version of myself where I'm like reading the Bible and I'm taking these really complex notes, and it's like, oh, what does this mean? And like trying to connect different pieces of the Bible and trying to just be so like theological with it, mm-hmm. and learning that God doesn't want that version of you. He wants like the honest version of you. And so if that is the honest version of you, then perfect.
Right.
But that wasn't me. And so I knew I needed to be more of my emotional self with him mm-hmm. and give him the doubts and concerns I had and just like be so honest with him and get angry at him if I needed to and just wait for his presence. Because this last winter there was like a time frame, I think right at the end of November, where I did not feel his presence at all. I was just like, where are you, God? Like, mm-hmm. why aren't you showing up? And I kind of felt like he was telling me like, well, where are you? Because I wasn't showing up either. And so being able to like realize that it's a relationship and it takes two, like I have to also put in the effort. He's not going anywhere, but for me to be able to feel his presence, I need to get closer to him. And so it was like kind of a wake up call for me this year as well, just to be like, all right, I'm getting really lazy in my own faith. And it's like, I'm just depending on like, you know, those 30-second TikTok clips where it's like, this is what God's telling you. And I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. I have it in now. And or like
good to go.
You're scrolling past it and feeling guilty. And you're like, oh, I have to go back up and read it. Uh-huh. And so just little clips like that in going to youth group on Sunday nights and just like, okay, there's my fill for the week and leaving. And so it was like learning that I need to actually be intentional with God and I need to lean into him and I need to be talking to him and praying to him and reading my Bible. And once I started to do that, it's crazy how it works. It's just like, wow, I already feel God's presence so much better.
Yeah, so leaning into the relational aspect.
Right.
Just interesting hearing your whole story that it's like, you've lived like a 40-year journey, you know, within 10 years or less. So where do you see this going forward? Like, you're going off to college in the fall, and so you with your past is going off to college as well. So what's, like, your thinking going forward?
I think that I'm very glad that I went through these hard times at a young age, because now I know going into the future and going through difficult times as well, it's going, I have, like, the resources with me now. And I, as difficult as it might be to, like, really dive into God's words or God's word and really listen to what he's saying and really pray, I know that it's there. Like, it, I can get really lazy with it, but going to college, I have the solution. It's just a matter of really being intentional with it and consistent with it. And so I'm glad that I learned that at a young age and with the support system I had in Alaska, because the community in Alaska is amazing. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs someone. And so being able to learn that at a younger age, I think, is really going to help me going into college, just having those resources.
Right. So what, your past was not a good, we'd say that the things that happened we wouldn't call good.
Right.
But good can come from that.
Yeah.
And that you've learned lessons that maybe some of us will learn in our 20s or 30s or 40s. Right. And you've been there, done that.
Yeah. Sort of thing. And yeah, I think that really shows that God can take any situation and make it good. Yeah. Like, he is a good God. And although he might not, his plan isn't for divorce and his intention is not for divorce, but he takes that and he's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. Let me make it good. And that's how I view that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Any advice for somebody who's in a similar situation, you know, divorce or just family dysfunction of some sort?
Yeah, I would say that it starts with realizing that, as painful as it might be, the world does fail you. And, like, your parents who are supposed to, you know, growing up, you think, like, these are the people
that... They're perfect.
That, yeah. Yeah, you think they're perfect. And so you have to kind of come to terms that they are just as sinful as you and they are just as broken as you. And that the only thing that is in your life that's going to stay consistent with just this outpour of love is going to be God, and accepting that and just knowing that it's okay to be in pain and it's okay to have these emotions, but the only way you're going to get through it is by depending on God in that situation. Mm-hmm.
I just love your story. And if I can editorialize here, who's my favorite student in youth culture?
Sophie.
You know it. Sophie's one of my favorites. And man, talk, I mean, our tagline is honest real life. And
right.
Yeah, you're an example of honest real life. Mm-hmm. And just, and I just love, I guess my final thought would be, like, just with all the ups and downs of wrestling and Bible knowledge, sometimes God just wants to hug you and hold you,
yeah,
you know,
I
and
totally
lean
agree.
Into that. And that's just so cool.
I think it's easy to think, like, he's just walking away from you.
Right.
But sometimes he's just trying to hold you, mm-hmm. and, like, you can't, like, just let him hold you.
Right.
Like, you don't have to try to jump out of his arms and figure it out yourself.
I feel like I want a hug. Anyways, well, I think that wraps up this podcast for today. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, Honest, Real Life. And this is Brian.
This is Sophie.
Until next time.